of you. It's good to see all of you tonight. Good to be home. I've been away all week. Board meetings. Meetings are a necessity. You have to have them. I don't know if you ever get to a point where you love them or not, but they're necessary, so I thank God for that. I thank God for all of you. It's good to see the Russells back from their vacation. I hope you had a very good time. Had a chance to see people. Thank God for you. It's good to see everybody who's up on screen tonight. And it's good to see Ella Jenkins, Sister Ella Latham, Kendia, T'Angela, Sister Eartha, Sister Barbara. It's good to see the Gamble family. Praise God for you. I think about y'all a lot. Really stay on my mind. And I pray the Lord is keeping you and seeing you through and blessing you. I'm going to look at a familiar scripture tonight, and it's going to be probably in, I think, Matthew, probably. And it's for everybody, and for all those who we could convince, if we could only convince those who are sinners of this, and so many people come. People come to Promise and to churches, and we need more of the Holy Ghost. We need to fast more. And we have to start praying, and I need to start praying so much that not so much that people would receive word, but they would receive the Holy Spirit. Many of them remind me of people who, when they're famished and they're malnourished, and they walk through a bakery shop, a pastry shop, or whatever it is that you smells good and entices you to eat. And they look at all the pastries or the bakery, all the things that are there, you know, whatever it is that entices you. But they won't eat any of it.
Yeah.
And they leave just as malnourished as they came. And they said, that food really looked good. And it smelled good. Yeah. And why didn't you eat it? And that's the way I feel sometimes about people in the Word of God. They'll say, boy, that was some good word. Then why didn't you eat it?
Eat it, yeah, yeah.
And why didn't you apply it to you? And it would have done you good. But looking at food does nothing for you.
No,
you don't gain any. You don't get any nutrients from looking at good food.
Yes.
And talking about how good it looks. You know, and if it could eat it off the page in a magazine. No. You have to. Jesus told him one time, and although it was an idiom, he didn't mean it literally. He said, you had to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He meant you have to consume all of me. So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy for all of us. I'm a little tired tonight, but it doesn't really matter. God never gets tired, and when I'm changed from old to a morph, sometimes, but I'll be honest, sometimes, and I noticed it today, and I noticed it around people. I like to say this around people who really, really declare that they got a whole lot of Holy Ghost and they're more spiritual than others. I like to say, I wish Jesus would come today and look at
them. Yes, see what they say, yes.
Because the more Holy Ghost you got, the more you want Jesus to come.
The more Jesus to come, that's right.
And I like to just bring that and rub it in. Oh, but all my troubles would be over.
Yes.
If Jesus would come today and look at them again.
Yeah.
You know, with the same mind, you'd be over too for me if Jesus came today.
Yes.
Because either you go up with me, if you went up with me, you'd be changed.
That's right.
Yes.
We all be
changed. And yes, you can say, well, that's your flesh. If you want to say that, you can. But I enjoy watching people who really, really, really just, you know, sanctified and holy and just holy, holy, holy. And I notice how long it takes them to say, yeah, me too. I wish Jesus would come today.
Yeah. All right.
Help us.
Yes.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Doesn't mean they don't have the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean they're not saved, sanctified, blood washed, spirit filled. Doesn't mean any of that. It simply means that some of us want Jesus to come more than others.
Yes.
And the only thing that keeps you from wanting Jesus to come back, and it's not a part where we're not settled in the earth, because the Holy Ghost makes us, you know, God keeps us comfortable.
Yes.
If you'll stay in God, you'll be comfortable.
Yeah, amen.
You won't be so comfortable you don't want to go to heaven, but you'll have peace and joy.
Yeah, amen.
Your life won't be perfect because we are perfection. And there's, you know, one of the things you do when you really go in God, you find out that there is no perfection in the earth.
No,
The only thing that we have perfect in the earth is the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
That's it.
But the earth itself became imperfect with the fall in the garden. And so, you know, if you're looking for perfection in the earth, ask Elon Musk or some of these people who have millions and billions of dollars. And ask them why aren't they satisfied, since they can buy anything in earth. And then you'll find out that you can't buy peace and you can't buy joy. So the Lord keeps us comfortable enough in the earth until Jesus comes. But for those of us who are really looking for Him to come, and we might not be the loudest prayer people, the longest prayer people. We might not be the ones running up down aisles, and we might not be proclaiming that we're deeper than everybody else who've ever lived. We might not be any of them, but buddy, we got a hunger and thirst for Christ.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Yes, we do. Yes. We want the Lord to come.
Yes, I do.
And the key is to incite people who walk in these doors. You know, you really need Jesus, because Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And you need to not just know about Jesus, but you need His Spirit. He's only going to catch up those who have His Spirit. You can't just hear it. Hearing about Jesus is not enough.
Yes.
And having visited the bakery shop is not enough. You had to eat something in order to keep you nourished and keep you going. And having come in the house of God is not enough. And having heard the Word of God, learned the Word of God, memorized the Word of God, tape the Word of God, video the Word of God is not enough. You have to consume it.
Yes.
Allow the Spirit of God to come in, so that you become not just a hearer of the Word, as James says, but a doer.
Amen.
Not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word.
Yes.
And part of the doing is not the things that we do because we're in God, but part of the doing is believing and receiving the Word of God. It has to be deeper than just an education that you get in theology. It has to be that you come to know the one that the Word is about, and you do that in the Spirit. I was listening to someone explain Jesus and with the woman in the world, when Jesus says to the woman that God is a spirit. And I've listened to a lot of people for various reasons use that scripture, God is a spirit. And some people even use it, they say it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a body, but He's a spirit. But I also wait to see if they're going to explain what Jesus means when He says when He tells them God is a spirit, that He means He's a spirit being. But then they don't go on to explain that what Jesus was really getting ready to tell the lady was the difference in worshiping in the earth and worshiping in the Spirit. Because that's what her original question was about. So then, when people come, it's not just a matter of me wishing that you'd hear me preach. Mm-hmm. I wish you'd get the Spirit that I have, and get the desire for heaven that I have. And when you have, because you don't want to be some of the people that when Jesus comes and we're caught up, you're left. What you don't want to be is left.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to tell you now, I have a great family, I do, and I wish I had spent more time with them. One of my regrets over the years is that I haven't spent more time with my family. But my family is not going to be able to comfort me if I don't go back with Jesus.
I know they won't.
Right.
No.
They are not going to be able to do something to make me feel good.
You know that's right.
If I don't go back with Jesus. I love them.
Right.
But they are not going to be able to satisfy my weeping if I don't go back with Jesus.
Yes.
They are not going to be able to do. There's nothing they can do or say.
Amen.
I'm not going to be one of the people that when the rapture comes, that somehow or another it's explained away as if aliens took us or this. I'm not one of those people because I've heard too much word.
Yeah.
And when the rapture comes, I will know if I was not to go, I would know exactly where everybody is.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
There are going to be millions of people in the earth, millions, not thousands, millions of people in the earth who've heard the Word of God. And when the rapture comes, those people are going to know exactly where they went. Yeah. And then, and later on, as they go through the tribulation, they'll be raptured too, but they're going to have to suffer for a while longer.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be one of those.
I don't want to be one of them, Lord.
There'll be, I mean, that suffering for me would just be, you know. And when I consider that on a day that I would think about whether or not I feel like being in God, I feel like reading the Word of God, I feel like praying, I feel like doing this, it's not, you know, you know, then the thought comes back to me, but I got to go back with Jesus. And I'm looking at the scripture today, you know, in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and, this is the reason why in the house of God I've learned in recent years of how we can make being in God be a burden that people, we put so much on them until you can't, till they can't see the advantage of being in God. I saw an article in the paper the other day, and I guess it was real. I don't think it was a deep fake. It was a, this farmer, I was looking online at the newsreel, and this farmer found a sheep in Australia, maybe somebody else saw it, maybe didn't, who had not been sheared in 5 years.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Yeah. Well, anyway, he looked like a great big ball of, he was almost dead because he was very malnourished, and his fleece was filthy and it was just pitiful. And when they finally sheared off the wool, and he was scarred and beaten and everything. But he, and then they nursed him back to health, but he was going to die because of the burden he was carrying. And when it was sheared off, Then he could live again. This is what it's like when you come to God. The burden has to be taken away. And it's the burden that comes with earth and the world and sin, and not just because not and it doesn't come to someone who's just fallen and drunken and all these things. Sin doesn't manifest itself in everyone by being in the streets and being a hoodlum or being whatever. Sin is simply not coming to God.
Yeah, that's right.
Sin has its own punishment and its own, I don't want to say reward, but it does say the wages of sin, but simply not coming to God. Even though you live a good, clean, moral life, and that becomes a burden because while you're trying to maintain your moral life, the Holy Ghost helps me maintain mine. And so, you know, it's something. So I was reading last week, not going to be long, but I was reading in Haggai, and there's a thing about the Old Testament. Elder Russell knows because he reads it a lot. When you start reading in the Old Testament, and the Spirit draws you in, you might start reading in chapter 30, and before you know it, instead of going forward to the next book, you're back in chapter 24. Because you start reading something, and then you want to know why that came to be, and so you go back, and you want to know why that came to be, and you keep going back. You want to know why that came to be, and you keep going back. And in a brief statement, when you consider Israel, when you consider them, it's a pitiful estate. When I read the part about, you know, and I've read it many, you know, I've read it before, but the Holy Ghost gives you revelation as you grow and you read it and you read it more. And it's, and some people, and this is a danger. I want to encourage everybody here, read your Bible. Go read the Old Testament. Read Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You do not have to be a Bible scholar to read those. They're historical books. You don't have to get a whole lot of revelation in them. Read them.
Read them. Amen.
And stop just having what someone else gives to you. Go read the Word of God.
That's right. Amen, Bishop.
And stop just limiting yourself to what someone else gives you. Read the Word of God. And when you do that, you start to find out, I was reading it last week, and really, you start to find out that Israel and first Israel and Judah divide, you know, because God has got this great plan for them. They're supposed to be a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests. They're God's representatives. They know God. They have in their lineage people who have seen God, walked yeah. with God, and talked with God, and the blessings they have, the covenant they have. I mean, they're blessed above blessed, and no one can destroy them as long as they're in God, because God is their God, and their God is the true God.
Yeah.
And they, after their, you know, it's like the Bible says, corruption that is in the world through lust.
Yeah.
And if you don't read the Word of God, you think that all lust means sex. Yeah. No, yeah. Lust means you have a strong desire for something. It can be money, it can be power, it can be anything. But he says they have escaped by the Spirit the corruption that is in the world because of strong desires.
Yes.
Just desiring the world.
Yeah.
Can't be in the house of God because you want to be somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't come to God because there's something else that you hold on to that you feel like I don't mind coming to God, but don't tell me I got to not have that. That corrupts you eventually, and it'll wear you down.
Yes, it will.
Because sooner or later, you're going to have to make a choice of whether you got to choose God or you got to choose the world. You cannot have both.
Can't have both.
And then you find out Israel in the course of things, even though they had seen so many miracles, and it says the same thing about them in the New Testament with Jesus. It says though they had seen so many miracles, yet they would not believe. And Israel, by the time after Solomon dies and Rehoboam comes along, Jeroboam, they divide between Judah and Israel, and then they just can't stay away from the Assyrians, and they just like the way the Egyptians worship their gods, and they just love something about Baal, and they just like something about Astroth, and they just and they're not being blessed by any of them, but they're just drawn to them for whatever reasons, and it's too hard to get to God, and eventually all the kings after Solomon, after divides, there's not one king in Israel who has ever gotten it. And out of all the kings they have in Judah, only 9 of them are ever godly.
Yeah.
And it's such a sad way when you think about it, because I can't remember how many hundreds of years, but at one point, eventually, Israel is overtaking that part of the Jews, and they cease to be a nation.
Yeah.
And then Judah carries on by the time you get to Josiah and Hezekiah and all them, which are the last few kings of Judah.
Yeah.
Israel has stopped existing a long time ago. And when you talk about being carried captive into Babylon, you're only talking about Judah.
Judah, yeah.
Because Israel is no more. And so so when you think about it, the heritage that they had, even until this present day, and they gave that up for the way of the world, and they had such a difficult time, and among those who stayed in God, it comes all the way up to there's always going to be enough of them who are going to stay with God all the way up to the time that Christ comes, who are godly, who are looking for the Lord. But it's relatively small around Jerusalem, and among the ones who are in Judah and rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem and come up to Jesus' day, then for the ones that are not in the world, then the church decides to pile everything on.
Yeah.
Law after law, law after law, this and that, so that they decide they're going to legislate everything. And as if the law of Moses wasn't enough. Have you ever read Leviticus?
Oh.
And then they add more.
Yes, yes.
So when Jesus comes along, and if you don't read your Bible, you don't get it. And if you don't read your Bible and you're saved, especially if you're Pentecostal, you think yourself so deep and so holy.
Exactly.
And when you don't read your Bible, you think yourself so special.
Yeah.
And not realize what these people went through and what they had to do to get where they were.
Yeah.
And to realize just how much of our being saved and our salvation is not us, but it's God.
Yes.
It is the grace of God. It is the mercy of God. That you're, when you hear the word of God and it attracts your attention, it's the grace of God. God, not lose it. When you're compelled to come to the house of God, it is the grace of God. You ought not lose it. You don't want the voice of God to grow fainter and fainter and fainter and fainter until it's to you just an echo and a memory. And then instead of saying, I need to come to church, you start saying, I ought to come.
I ought to come,
Or, you know, you think, I thought about coming.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying, I thought about being caught up.
Yeah.
I thought about going to heaven.
Heaven.
I ought to go to heaven.
I ought to go to heaven.
I need to go to heaven. But when you will keep the fire burning and keep the spirit burning, but then again, when you consider what Israel went through in the times, and I was reading with Hezekiah and Josiah and all those, and how their fathers were and the different things they went through, it's just a sad commentary. So then when you get in the New Testament and to say all that, and you look at how God moved among them and how direct he was, and yet they wouldn't hold themselves together, then in the New Testament you find you have Pharisees. Now, not only are they under Roman occupation and they have all the troubles and burdens from the world, but they have the burdens from the synagogue too, and from the temple too. But we ought not be a burden to the people. And Jesus comes along and he says to all of them, whether they're saved or unsaved, and whether they're trying to be in the temple, and it doesn't matter when Jesus comes along whether their burden is from the temple or whether their burden is from the Romans. It doesn't matter whether their burden is from the temple or whether it's from the Romans. It doesn't matter whether they're good Jerusalem Jews or whether they're the half Jews down in Samaria. The message is the same. And he says it today, and it's the message that we're giving to them. And he talks about it. And we make such a light thing of it. He tells them, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we preach this, and we talk about it. But it's the message that we're saying to every sinner and every person who's in God. If you're a sinner, you need to come because your burden is the burden of sin in the world. And if you're saved, you still have your burdens because we live on earth. And God forbid if one of the burdens you need to come to Jesus for because of like them is because of the church. But that too. Sometimes we need a rest from that. Not from God. And not from being in the sanctuary. But the things that churches want you to do. All thing I want you to do is be saved. Obey God. Love the gospel. Get your name on the roll in heaven. Have your name written in the book. Open your heart and let the Holy Ghost come in. He will do you good. Stop being afraid of the best thing that will ever happen to you. And when he comes, make your calling and election sure and hold on to him. For dear life, because he is life. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what you're laboring with, you know when you as you start to get older and you overexert yourself, you labor just to breathe. Or if you have a respiratory disease, you labor just to breathe. And you're working hard at something that you normally shouldn't have to work about. And in life, sometimes you're laboring and you're working hard at something that God can make so easy. And it becomes such a difficult time. And everywhere you move seems like there's a roadblock and a stopping point. It seems like you can't get away from it. And for everybody who's in Christ and every church and everybody who preaches, this is supposed to be a place where you come and you don't have to labor.
That's right.
And your burdens and the things you go through and the things that you hear and all this. And I can see Jesus saying this to the Jews because the Jews have just been suffering for so long, thousands of years by now. And they seem to get worse and worse. And it's one of those things that if Jesus hadn't come when he did, I don't know if they'd have stopped existing at all. But God knows all things and he knew when to send him. But their burdens were hard. But their burdens were so heavy by then. They were burdened by the Romans, they were burdened by the synagogue, they were burdened by the Pharisees, and the Pharisees should not have been a burden. They should have been the very ones who were helping them carry the load.
Right.
You know, it's, I'm not supposed to be your burden. Right. You know, the pastor's not supposed to be your burden. The bishop's not supposed to be your burden. The church is not supposed to be your burden.
Amen.
Yes.
We're supposed to point you to the burden bearer, and this is the place where you're supposed to come and have rest for your souls and receive the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and be refreshed and renewed and leave encouraged and uplifted and feeling like you can go on. And I want to encourage everybody tonight that in Christ, if you'll come to Christ, it's like he said, and it's coming to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whatever burden you have that you might have picked up during the week, go in prayer and tell God all about it.
Yeah.
Whoever came in your way during the week and they're a burden, so how do they're a burden? They're on your mind.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you try to go to sleep at night, they're on your mind. So how do I know they're a burden? Because you're trying to think of ways to get them one off your mind, and then if they're a heavy burden, you're trying to, you know, and they can become such a burden, they can bring about malice and wrath and vengeance and all those things. That's a burden.
That's a burden.
And you're thinking to yourself, how do I get rid of them? And how do I do this and all this? They have become a burden. That's just one example. There are many others.
Yes.
Your job might be one. And it isn't that the thing that I love about the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the thing I like about God is God can relieve your burden without the person who's bothering you dying. Because, you know, that's the first thing you think about. God, maybe they just keep on bothering, maybe they just die. God can relieve your burden, they still live.
Yeah, that's right.
And God can relieve the burden of your job, and you still have it. And God can relieve the burden of whatever you're going through and work those things through. So though they continue what they are, you will be all right. That's the thing that's a miracle of God. When the Lord saves you, the world doesn't change because you're saved, but you're saved and you're all right because God has changed you.
Amen.
And the world doesn't become a place of peace because God has given you peace, but just knowing that everything's all right. You see, the problem you have with the world is that it frightens you. And it has an uncertainty. And the bottom line of it is how am I going to survive and will I be all right? And we start doing things because we're wondering, how am I going to survive and am I going to be all right? But when you have God and you know he says, I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. And when you have God, you can say like David, I will not fear what men may do because the Lord is on my side. You've got this mindset that says no matter who's in the White House, Blue House, Green House, Kremlin, or wherever else, I'm going to be all right because I have God. My king dwells in a city that is everlasting, and my God dwells on a throne that will not fail. Nobody's going to vote Jehovah out. And nobody's going to vote Satan in. God's going to always be there. And as long as my name is in his book, and I belong to him, and he's my father, and I'm his son, I'm going to be all right. David knew, he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, everybody has some nights they weep, some nights you stay awake. But you'll go to sleep sooner when you'll come unto him, come unto Jesus, because the labor is keeping you awake and the burden's keeping you awake. You need to be, when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he says, get in here with me. Let me help you pull the burden. Come along with me. Join to me. Be yoked with me. My burden is easy. The things that you have to do in me are easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not heavy like the Pharisees put on you. It's not heavy like the Romans put on you. It's an easy burden. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find out how great I am. It's hard just to get people to find out how great God is. And you know when you, get in one little corner of the Bible that you like. And that's all you preach about. And that's all that's ever on your mind. Then how are the people supposed to learn of him? And how are they supposed to know how easy his burden is? how, you know, how easy his yoke is and how light his burden is. No wonder. And they're saying, I don't feel any difference because I came to God and God took away a burden of the world, but now I have the burden of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just exchanged one burden for another.
Yeah.
I was yoked to the world. I had a hard time. Now I'm yoked to you, and now you want to legislate me.
Right. Yeah.
That's how many Jews felt about the temple.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the Romans and the Pharisees? Both of them are putting more on me than I can bear. And both of them are working me, you know, working me like literally like a Hebrew. I am a Hebrew and I was a slave, working me like a Hebrew slave.
Yes.
And at the same time I'm doing this, you know, and at the same time, and the thing that bothered them most about the Pharisees, because Paul said it, he says, you're putting all these burdens on them and you're not doing them yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
You're telling them to fast and you're not fasting.
Amen.
You're telling them to pray and you're not praying.
Yeah, that's right.
You're telling them to come out, and you're not coming out.
Yeah.
He's okay, really. He just, you know, it's just, we have to, if we tell people when we're preaching and teaching and hoping they'll come to God, then when they come to God, don't let it be a bait and switch.
Yeah, right.
All right, yeah.
I tell you to come to God because of all this, and then when you get in God, now I want to lay all my requirements on you.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you come to God, I'm telling you, the Lord will deliver and the Lord will set you free. But when you finally come in, now I want to lay all my requirements on you. And I want to tell you what I expect of you.
Yes.
The only thing I want you to do is obey God.
Amen.
Because His burden is easy. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Only thing I want you to do is be in the will of God, because His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. It doesn't require much.
Yeah.
So what does God require? God, what does God want me? He wants me to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in God,
yes.
That He is the one God, the true God.
Yes.
Believe in His precious Son, Jesus Christ, that He came to set you free from sin.
Yes.
And believe that He died and He was buried and rose again. How hard is that?
Amen.
And have new life and receive Him and allow the Holy Ghost to come in and fill you. Let some help come in. I could see a problem if it hurt for Him to come in. I could see a problem if you had to go through some major pain for Him to come in. I could see a problem if you had to work some really difficult task for Him to come in. I could see a problem, but He says, I'm not asking you to climb all the way to heaven to get Him.
That's
and I'm
right.
not asking you to go all the way down to hell to find Him.
That's
he
right.
says, all you got to do is say, let is just ask Him, come
Amen.
In.
Amen. Yes.
How hard is that?
Not hard.
How difficult is that?
Yes.
He says, this. It's not like, He says, I'm not going to tax you like the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to put you to work like the Pharisees. You don't have to bring a lamb or a ram or a bull or a goat or any of those things.
Yeah.
All you got to do when you believe in my Son, when you show up, He shows up.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
It is so easy. So that you can come in here on a Friday night after you've gone through a hard week and the Lord will come in and say, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's standing. I don't know anybody who doesn't like for somebody to pull them to the side and mean it and say to you, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, yet, and yet a little while, and he that shall come will come.
Yes.
Don't you like to have somebody, I told y'all once before, when I was going through the darkest period of my life, I do mean the darkest time in my life. I mean that so dark I'll never go through it again. And the only thing else, miss, she said a lot of things to me, but one thing she said to me, that I'll never forget. She just came to me one day and she looked at me and I was going through so bad. She said to me, this too shall pass.
Yes.
That's all she said.
Yes.
She said, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say anybody can walk up to you and say, this too shall pass. But when someone that means a lot to you and you mean a lot to them, like when God, who means a lot to you and you mean a lot to God,
yes.
When He says this too shall pass, and you know that He's concerned about you.
Amen.
Because I see a lot of people who say, I'm going to pray for you, and they have no concern about the people.
No.
You know, it's just a politically correct thing to say.
Yes.
But when someone really is concerned about you, and they say, they don't have to say a whole lot. They'll just look at you and say, you know, you'll be all right.
Right. Yes.
You know, Mother Murray told me one time, a long, long time ago, she said to me, and I remember words that people say to me that have an influence, and maybe some people just forget. But I was going through, I can't remember even what it was, but now I was going, and Mother Murray said to me, she said, worry about it won't help. That's what she said to me. She said, worry about it won't help. And, you know, and it doesn't take many words to settle you. It just takes the right words with the right spirit. See, because when you say the words, the spirit has to confirm the concern that's there. And it's not just, it's like an apology. It's not just the right words. It has to have the right spirit. So that you know it's meant. Or when someone is concerned and they're trying to come to your aid, it's not like a paramedic in an ambulance whose job it is to keep you alive. It is someone that's concerned about whether you live or die or not. And if you're a good preacher, it's not my job to get you saved in that regard. I'm concerned that you'll have God, because I know Jesus is coming back. And I'm concerned about the people who come to this church, because I want all of them to be caught up. I know Jesus is coming back. What will you? And I'm going. And I don't know who you'll get when I'm not here. But you'll have to find somebody. Because heaven is not going to go away, and hell is not going to go away. And if you miss the rapture, you sure are going to have to prepare yourself to make it during the tribulation. So I'm encouraging everybody. Jesus said today, no matter what you've gone through during the week, no matter what you've thought, and this is another thing I like about God. It doesn't matter what you've thought about God in the course of the day or the week or whatever. When you turn yourself to God and come to God, God will say, all right. He's not like people. He doesn't say, well, what took you so long? No, he'll say, all right. It doesn't matter how many services you miss, or how long it's been since you've come to prayer, or how much you've stopped praying or reading your Bible. If God can get you to come and turn to him, he will meet you. And he'll say, all right. I'm encouraged tonight. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your great grace you've given to us. We thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us, and for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to bear our burden. Lord, the heaviest burden we've ever carried was sin. And Lord, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And Lord, once he took that burden from us, Lord, all other burdens are easy for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you so much tonight. Lord, we come before you, and Lord, for every disappointment we might have had this week, or for any inkling of bad news we might have gotten, or for any add-on to the tasking that we have, or any way, Lord, or anything that would come to bring us any discomfort, any dis-ease, or bother our minds, or trouble our sleep, or make us wonder how we're going to make it. Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bring those burdens unto you, and we ask you, help us, O God. And Lord, deliver us. Lord, help us bear them and carry them. And Lord, some of them, Lord, just do away with them. Others, Lord, show us a way out, O God. Some of them, Lord, if they be sickness and disease, heal us and take them away, O God. Whatever be needful, O God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would lift our burdens, Lord. Undo the heavy burden. Loose the bands of wickedness, O God, and break every yoke, O Lord. Lord, set the captives free tonight. And Lord, for all those who are bound in sin, who are near the word of God, who will hear the word of God but will not even. Those, Lord, who will hear the beckoning call but will not come in. Lord, change their minds. And Lord, for those, Lord, who are straying and who grow thinner by the day and grow weaker by the day, Lord, strengthen them with might by your spirit and the inner man. Lord, give them a word and turn them back toward the cross, because your Son is coming. And Lord, give them a hunger and thirst for righteousness one more time. Remind them, O God, of how their hearts did burn when they first came and when they were first illuminated, O God. Strengthen them in the spirit. Stir up the gift that is in them, O God. Hold them close. Remind them, O God, of their names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, let them see in their minds and in their hearts, Lord, their names being written there and their reservation to be with God, being on high, Lord. Remind them of all that you have reserved for them, O God. Lord, bring it to their minds. Lord, let their eyes fall upon the Word of God and their Bibles, and let their hearts and their heads turn towards the house of worship and the place of worship. And Lord, when they come in, Lord, meet them with the Spirit of God. Lord, the Spirit of peace, O God. Lord, I pray, Lord, let there be rest for their souls, O God. Lord, bless me as a pastor. Lord, when they come in, Lord, don't let me trouble a soul that's already troubled. But Lord, let me speak comfort, Lord. Encourage them and build them up, O Lord. Lord, if they come in trouble, Lord, let them leave in peace. Lord, we glorify your name. And to all those that hear, O Lord, Lord, I pray, Lord, touch every heart, touch every mind. Draw them to the house of God. Lord, sanctify this place, O God. Lord, that every evil spirit would be shaken off at the door and not allowed to come in. And the Spirit of the living God would overwhelm them, O God. Lord, even as he has done to me, and give them a hunger and thirst for righteousness that will not go away. Lord, we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the honor, we'll give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
I want to encourage everybody tonight, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to make up your mind, Lord, I'm going to do more in God. And no one's going to, and there's no law we can write to make you do more. You know, but the unction of the Holy Ghost will give you a mind to do more in God if you will allow him.
Yes, amen.
He's that small, gentle nudge that keeps reminding you when you try to ignore God. He's that small nudging that won't let you forget about God.
Yes.
And you should be so glad for that measure of grace. Because you don't want to be like the people in the first chapter of Romans who no longer retain God in their knowledge. That is something you do not want to do.
Right.
You don't want to forget about God.
Amen.
You do not want to forget about God.
Amen.
So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God for his great grace. It's good that the Lord kept Ella Russell and Russell during their vacation. I pray you had a good time.